Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We've been singing and celebrating this morning grace, amazing grace, wonderful grace, grace that is too big for words. And that really is the theme of the entire book of Ephesians. And as we continue our study, we come to chapter 3 this morning and get another peek at it through another window. This past week, I was reading a children's version of Time magazine, which my wife gets for her class at school, and in it there was a story about a 14-year-old Montana boy, Wes Linster, who while digging in the dirt on his ranch near Chateau, Montana, way back in 1994, he discovered a perfectly preserved skeleton of a new species of dinosaur. Now, I know, boys, wouldn't it be wonderful to dig in the dirt in your backyard and find something like that? Yeah, cool. I think that's a little boy's dream. Well, I know a lot of older boys here who are still digging in the dirt, finding stuff under there. And we love to find discoveries like that. This boy immediately sensed that he had discovered something pretty special, and so he ran home to get his mom, and sure enough, it turned out to be absolutely fabulous. The discovery was wonderful news to scientists who are continuing to try and piece together an understanding of the biological history of the Earth. Can you imagine being that boy? It'd be wonderful. Can you imagine, for example, being the person who discovered a cure for AIDS or for cancer? Absolutely thrilling to be able to experience something like that. But for now, those things remain a mystery. Wouldn't it be wonderful to stumble across an ancient document or an extraterrestrial code revealing the mystery of the universe? Can you imagine if there was such a thing as a time capsule that you could get in and punch back the numbers, whether it was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years, depending on your perception, and zip back to find out how this whole thing really came to be, and then record it? Wouldn't that be awesome? And for now, it's a mystery. We really don't know some of those things. And I realize that, although that would be a great thriller, a mystery thriller, for some of us, the mystery in your life may be who you're going to marry or where you're going to get posted next. For some of you, the big mystery is what's for lunch. I don't know what your mystery is, but whenever we use the word mystery, people think of uncertainty, confusion, secrecy, drama, intrigue, suspense, surprise, and perhaps even a shocking revelation. A good mystery seems to draw attention and interest like a magnet draws metal or like a light draws flies or bugs. This morning we are going to explore what is without question the most marvelous mystery in all of human history. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm beginning reading at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as we examine this fascinating passage, help us to not get set aside by some of the tricky language and run-on sentences, but Lord, help us understand the essence of what you were trying to say through your Apostle Paul. We ask you to open the eyes of our spirit and help us see, either for the first time or in a fresh new way, the marvelous mystery of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that the greatest mystery in human history has to do with the role of human beings on this planet. Surely you have wondered at some time or another, how did I get here? You've wondered that, haven't you? Good morning, I need a response. You know me, I need a response. You've wondered that. Of course you have. You read the science books, you wonder, is it creation? Is it evolution? Is it some combination of the two? How long has it been? How did we get here? But a more important question is, regardless of how we got here, why are we here? What in the world are we doing here? Is there a purpose? Are we just some cosmic accident? Random chance? Or is there a purpose? If there is a purpose, what is it? If that purpose has anything to do with knowing what's beyond this life, then what is beyond this life? Is there a God? If there is a God, can we relate to Him? If we can relate to Him, how do we relate to Him? These are big issues, dear friends. And quite frankly, between you and me, no matter how firm you think you've got down all your understanding, a lot of that is still a very big mystery. Big mystery. There's stuff that you and I, no matter how much we study and learn, will not know until after. A lot of it is mysterious. In verse 6 of today's passage, Paul describes the mystery of human connection with God. And this is what he said. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And then he adds in verse 12, in Christ and through faith in Him, we may approach God with confidence and freedom. Do you hear that this morning? Do you hear it with the ears of your soul? Regardless of your background, regardless of where you've come from, you and I can actually approach the awesome Creator of the entire universe. We can approach Him with freedom and with confidence. That is fantastic news. I don't know what you're like in terms of your personality. Some of you are naturally jumpy and splashy, and some of you are more conservative. But if you really understood what I just said, no matter how conservative you are, there would be an explosion of joy going on inside your spirit. We, human beings, can actually approach the Almighty God with what? Freedom and confidence. It's amazing. Freedom and confidence. Do you realize this morning that all over this entire globe, whether it's the uneducated tribal bushman in central Borneo or the brilliant Silicon Valley technician, people with no historical connection to God whatsoever can now get intimate with Him. That's amazing. Prostitutes can know Him as well as priests. The poor have equal access with the rich. The doors are thrown wide open to both the good and the bad. Everyone, everywhere, is invited to God's eternal party. Now that, dear friends, is the mystery revealed. It hasn't always been that way, though. At least if it was, very few, if anybody, knew about it. This mystery, the Bible says, has been hidden in the past. Look at verse 4 and 5. There Paul states, the mystery of Christ was not made known to men in other generations. And then he adds in verse 9, this mystery for ages past was kept hidden in God. I read about a poor man years ago who was trying to keep the family farm, but the crops were poor, a number of bad years, cash flow was down, and he went bankrupt and had to sell. Sold the big family farm. The guy who came in bought the farm, needed some water for irrigation, had a little extra money, so he drilled a well for water and found black water. Actually, he found black gold. He hit an oil well, and the thing started to gush hundreds and thousands of barrels of oil. The money started to roll in. Can you imagine the feelings of that guy who sold a property? All the time, that oil was under the ground, but it was mysteriously hidden, and therefore he couldn't profit from it because he didn't know about it. In the same way, it's similar to the mystery of our salvation. The Bible says it has always been in the heart of God. It has always been there for us. It has always been His plan, but somehow it was mysteriously hidden. It needed to be discovered and revealed. We do know from Scripture that throughout history, God, throughout all of human history, God has always gladly welcomed anyone, anywhere, who's been a true, sincere seeker. But His rescue operation for wayward humanity needed a process. It needed a strategy so that not just one person here and another person there would know, but so that everybody could know. So what strategy did God use to get that information out? How was He to let us know about the great reservoir of grace under our feet? How was He going to tell us? Well, the Bible says He began that by calling an individual, a man named Abram. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, modern-day Iraq. He called him unto Himself. This guy was from a completely pagan background, but God said, I want you, I'm going to bless you, and then through you, I am going to bless all the nations of the earth. God selected him and his bloodline so that he could specifically reach the world with his love. That bloodline, however, rather than passing on the blessings, often hoarded them, boxed them up, sealed them, and sat on them. The Jewish people in that day knew that they were chosen of God, and they celebrated that. But unfortunately, they used that knowledge to just keep it for themselves and shut everybody else out. You see, what happens if you weren't born a Jew? What happens if you were born on the wrong side of the tracks, in the wrong family, in the wrong place, at the wrong time? Was it all hopeless? If that was today, we could ask the same questions. What about people today who have been born in locations of the world where they have absolutely no access to the message which you have grown up on and maybe take for granted? No Bible preaching, no radio programs, no television, no Bibles, no tracts, no Christian neighbor to share with them the love of Christ. What about people like that who have never heard? Those people obviously have a great disadvantage because although the oil is still under their feet, they don't know about it. They're not aware of the resource that God has for them. It's there, but they just don't know about it. So God needed a process by which to let them know that the grace was available. And that's what He planned. Look at the process. What did God do to get this news out? Paul describes the process in verses 2 to 5. Surely, he said, you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. Now, I suppose if God wanted to get this message around the world, He could have just used some heavenly megaphone. Now hear this. In everybody's language, He could have done that. Or He could have written the message in the clouds. I'm sure He could have used millions of different ways to get that message to us. But this is the way He chose. God decided that over a period of time, He would reveal His mystery in succeeding portions to different individuals and transmit His words so that not just they in that place could have His information, but so that everybody around the world would understand what was under their feet. Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Daniel, Jonah, and many others, they were all given little parts to hear, to speak, and to record. God gave them revelation. That word revelation means to bear, to make naked, to expose or disclose truth, especially concerning things that have to do with the unknown. When God called Abraham, He told him that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. That's quite a promise. Abraham obviously didn't understand that, but he believed it, and he acted upon it, and he wrote it down. Abraham didn't understand, but he followed through on what God had spoken to him. Moses was given the law, revealing the righteous requirements of a holy God, which obviously made every one of us realize, hey, we don't cut it. We have missed that mark of 100% perfection, which means we're sinners, which basically means we've missed the mark. Moses, even though he was the one through whom the law came, Moses broke the law himself. Not just the tablets, but the law in which they were written. Moses was a lawbreaker, but he received what God had said. He allowed that to flow through his life. He recorded it down for all of us. You jump ahead to the prophets, and you have people like Isaiah. Isaiah received the news from God that the Messiah would be a suffering servant, actually dying for the sins of his people and for the sins of the whole world. Isaiah, there was no way he could fully comprehend that himself, but he believed what God had said. He wrote it down, and we have the succeeding revelation. And so you see, as you read the Old Testament, the oil was all there. It was under the surface. It was waiting to be discovered, but nobody knew about it. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, he lived a sinless life without one single sin in his life, thus meeting the just requirements of God. He then died on the cross of Calvary, paying the penalty for human sin, and then rose again from the dead, revealing his true nature and majesty and glory. Now, when that happened, the Bible says that many Jews, it's like their eyes were opened. It's like the well sprang forth in life and they realized what they had. They put their trust in Jesus Christ. They discovered the riches of his grace. And then you remember the day of Pentecost? Jews from all over the then known world had gathered in Jerusalem, and that was the day God chose to pour out his Spirit. Is it a coincidence? No, this is part of the process of getting the news out. God poured out his Spirit on the church that day. They were enabled by the Spirit to speak all these different languages of the people. And what did they tell them? They basically told them, guys, there's oil under your feet. There's grace under your life. And we proclaim it to you. And that day, 2,000 Jewish people from all over the world who had gathered in Jerusalem discovered the oil of his grace, trusted him, and found him to be what God had wanted him to be to them. They discovered their Savior. You may say, that's wonderful. Most people don't realize that the church was Jewish. But what about the Gentiles? What about all the non-Jews populating the world? Historically, prior to that point, they had been called the unrighteous. They'd been nicknamed the uncircumcised dogs. They were heathen. They were pagans. They were outside the boundaries of God's grace, at least in the perception of the Jewish people. Was there any hope for them? If the Jews had God's reservoir of grace free for the drilling, then maybe, just maybe, if you hung around with them, maybe you could get a little of the residual blessing. Hopefully, maybe. Many in that day would say, no way. If you want God's blessing, if you want to know God, if you want eternal life, if you want to have his blessing on your life, you have to become a Jew. That was the understanding in that day. And so once again, in this progressive unfolding of God's revelation, God chose a man. And through that man, he spoke his truth. Look at verse 8. Paul said, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. And then verse 12, he says, in Christ, and through faith in him, we Gentiles may also approach God with freedom and confidence. It's not just boxed up for a certain race, a certain people, in a certain place. Folks, it's open to us too. It's our free access as well. Now let me ask you, if you were living in either Texas or somewhere here in Egypt or the Middle East or someplace else that is known to have oil, and your neighbor on either side of you drilled and discovered great reservoirs of oil, but you didn't have any money to drill. You didn't have any money to explore what was on your property. You had a hunch maybe there might be oil under your property too, but you couldn't, like the farmer I alluded to, you couldn't even make payments on your farm. Which of these options would you prefer? Would you like your neighbors to come and pay you a good price for your farm so they could drill for the oil? Or would you prefer one of your neighbors to come over and say, you know, friend, you may have oil under your property too, so why don't I come? God's been good to me. I'll come. Let me explore. Let me drill for you. And if there's oil, you can enjoy it. Which of those two would you prefer? Pretty easy question, right? Of course. But you know what? In history, it wasn't like that. In history, instead of, yes, we've been blessed by God, no, we wanted to buy the farm. We wanted to take it for ourselves. Well, dear friends, to go over and help somebody else dig or drill and discover the well that is on their property is precisely what the wonderful news that Paul proclaimed when he went around the world at that time. Whether it was in Rome or Corinth or Cyprus or wherever he went, Ephesus, this is the message he proclaimed, that God's grace is flowing freely, not just for the Jews, but also for all people everywhere. How many of you have ever had the privilege of announcing wonderful news to somebody else? It doesn't have to be spiritual news, just any good news. If you know the joy of that, I love watching people receive a gift that they didn't expect. Not on their birthday, not at Christmas, just maybe out of the blue, somebody walks into their life and gives them a special gift. Have you ever seen their face light up? Not just little kids squeal with delight, adults will do that as well. We love to receive unexpected grace, unexpected news, life, love, gift. We love to do it. Well, we, like Paul, have far better news than that somebody has oil under their property. We have the amazing, wonderful news we can joyfully announce that they have grace under their life. We can announce that. We can announce this news, continuing to reveal this mystery, and it is an awesome, amazing privilege. And interestingly, this is actually the very purpose of God for those of us who have experienced His amazing grace. Take a look again at verse 11. This is a verse that has seemed to bypass many Christians, but look at it again, friends. Verse 10, His intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, which is you and me who make up the family of God. No, it's not a denomination. It's all of God's people all over the world who know Him and who love Him. His intent was that through the church, through we who have experienced His grace, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. To who? Just to our neighbors? Yeah, but he says here, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear friends, this marvelous mystery has been revealed. It is no longer a secret. The news is out. God's grace in Jesus Christ is available to anyone, anywhere, anytime. That's right, to anyone. Do you believe that this morning? Some of you do. To anyone. Do you know that God's grace is available to that person that you can't get along with? It's available to that person who really, really is bugging you right now. And if you had your way and if you weren't a Christian, you'd probably... His grace is available to them. They may not know it, but it's there. Did you know that God's grace is available to people who believe things that are different than yours, than what you believe? His grace is available to people all over the world. His grace is available to people who persecute you for what you believe. His grace is available to people who might someday put a knife in your back or a bullet in your head. Do you believe His grace is that available? Careful how you answer. The Bible says the marvelous mystery is that everyone can access the amazing, wonderful grace of God if they want to, if they will. This mystery has been revealed. It's also been revealed to the angels and the demons in the heavenly realms. I believe that they probably are awed at such a wonder, at such a God who would go to such amazing lengths to redeem His errant children, His wandering kids, to bring them back. You know, if I had some pet ants and a couple of them decided to wander off and leave me, I probably wouldn't sell all that I had, give up my occupation, and go and try and hunt for those ants. I probably wouldn't do it. And yet we are more important to God than anything that I can illustrate that way. And as God has manifested His love and set out this purpose from eternity past to send Christ to come and redeem us, and He did so, and as we get the privilege of declaring it, the scripture says the heavenly realms go, awesome. What an awesome God. A God who would love His children that much. And could it be that the angels and the demons are maybe even jealous of us? That we, mere puny human beings, get the awesome privilege of going around and telling people, you got oil under your ground. You got grace under your life. And they're going, no, nuts, I wish I could do that. They're messengers, yeah, they do God's bidding, but we have the privilege of announcing this amazing news. I have a hunch they're jealous. Allow me to make some applications at the end of the message this morning. Are you aware this morning that God's grace, His unlimited, measureless grace, His amazing grace, as we heard this morning, are you aware that that grace is available for you? Not just for some religious person, not just for those who attend church regularly. His grace is available for you. Do you know that? Have you heard that? Have you heard it fresh, perhaps even this morning? Have you heard it with the ears of your soul? Do you realize this morning that God loves you? He loves you more than you will ever be able to comprehend or imagine. You are precious in His sight. And He loved you so much, the Bible said, that He sent His only Son to come here specifically for you because He loves you that much. Are you aware of the grace under your life? Do you realize that He went to the cross of Calvary to pay for your debt, for your sin, in its entirety, and He has His eternal life as a gift waiting for you to be received? Have you received what He has freely purchased for you? It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you've been good or bad. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, pink, green. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter what your background is, dear friends. Jesus' love and His grace are available for you today. They're there. They're there. Don't sell the farm. Drill with faith and discover the grace that is waiting for you to be discovered. For those of you who have already discovered God's grace, who've received His amazing grace and enjoy it, what are you doing with it? Are you like the ancient Jews who wanted to receive God's blessing but refused to pass it on? Let me ask you very honestly this morning. In the illustration I gave before about two farms on either side or ranches with oil and the guy in the middle, if you were the one on either side and you had oil on your property and those pumps were just gushing it out and you watched the oil going out of the ground and the money flowing into the bank and you were just a pretty happy camper, and it was your neighbor who was going bankrupt, your neighbor who had to sell out because he couldn't drill and he couldn't explore. Now let me ask you, real, think about this. If you were in that situation, would you buy out your neighbor? Would you buy him out? He's bankrupt. He can't afford it. Basic business deal. Would you buy him out and drill and obtain the revenue? Or would you use some of your own profits and go over to your neighbor and say, you know what? God's been good to me. I have more than I need. Let me explore for you. Let me drill for you so that you too can enjoy what is under your ground. How would you respond? Now be careful. Don't just answer. We all know what the right answer is. But ask yourself honestly. You see, we live in a world that has so conditioned us to think of ourselves. So conditioned us to, well, of course you buy his farm. Oh, you could give him a gift, a thank you gift. But buy the farm. We have been so conditioned to hoard, to keep, and to justify it, that thinking has entered the way we live in our spiritual lives as well. And that's exactly how we treat our neighbors when it comes to God's grace. Are you willing to do whatever is necessary to see your neighbors, to see other people also know about the marvelous mystery of God's grace revealed to them? Whether they drill is up to them. Whether they accept God's grace is not your issue. It's not your decision. God forbid that we go around twisting people, cramming stuff down people's necks. No! God has not asked us to do that. He simply asked us to tell people, dear friend, dear neighbor, you've got grace under your life. Drill if you want. That's all God is asking us to do. Are you willing to do that? And you say, I don't know. Well, can't it be kind of costly? Won't it stretch me out of my comfort zone? Well, it might. You know, when I looked at this passage, I came to verse 13 and I thought, what does this have to do with the passage? But look again. He ends this passage on this marvelous mystery by saying, I ask you therefore, and therefore obviously ties it into what he said before, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. In other words, Paul is saying, hey guys, don't worry about the personal cost to me of getting this message to you. It's worth it. Of course it has cost me something. Yes, I've been stoned along the way. Yes, I've been left for dead a few times. Yes, I've been shipwrecked. Yes, I've gone through all kinds of hassle and pain. Hey, guys, forget it. It is nothing compared with the joy of being able to tell you what God has available for you. You see, getting a gift to somebody else always costs the giver something. Otherwise, it's not a gift. And if you're going to tell your neighbor that they've got oil under their property, it means sacrificing your chances of buying the land. There's a cost involved. I remember years ago, back in Canada, one of the things I used to love to do that it's very difficult to do here, and so I don't do it here, but back home, I used to go house to house, knocking on doors, and just meeting people, and if they wanted to talk about the Lord, I'd love to talk about that. Anyway, as you know, in North America anyway, and perhaps other parts of the world, that has become quite offensive because of a whole bunch of different groups doing it for different reasons. Anyway, but back then, way back then, it seemed to be okay. But nevertheless, I got doors slammed in my face. I had people swear at me. I had people call me names that still make me cringe. And I'm human too, and I have to be honest that sometimes I'd walk in and I go, oh, this hurts. What am I doing this to myself for? It hurt to be shunned. It hurt to be rejected. It hurt to be called names. It was a price to pay. But I remember that day walking along, I don't know how many houses said, no, we're not interested, no, we're not interested, slam, whatever. And I came to this one, rang the doorbell, these people, you know, very wary, cool reception, got to know them a bit. After a couple of minutes, they invited me in. We got talking, struck up a friendship. I shared Christ with them in the course of that morning, and both Alan and Grace Bird received Jesus Christ as their Savior that morning. They said, I want to drill for that grace that God has available for me. And I watched God wonderfully transform their lives, wonderfully heal their marriage that was crumbling at the seams, wonderfully build their lives. A couple months later, Grace was hired as my secretary, one of the best secretaries I've ever had in my life. She was phenomenal. And after a couple years, her fame spread, and so the president of our denomination came in and robbed her from me. She became secretary to the president of our denomination. Marvelous lady. Wonderful couple. They're still walking with God today and overflowing with God's praise and grace and touching many other lives with His goodness. Now, you know, when I think back to that Saturday and I was knocking on those doors, I have to think about the pain, just to give you the illustration this morning. But normally when I think back to that Saturday, do you think I remember the names I was called? Do you think I remember how many doors were slammed in my face? Do you think I remember any? Nah. I have to work at remembering that. But my contact with Grace and Alan comes back instantly. I remember that. I can't forget that. Why? Because like Paul, I could say, you know what? My suffering for you, forget it. It's nothing. Because when I look at your life, when I see what God has done, when I see how He healed your marriage, restored your lives, filled you with joy inexpressible and amazing grace, when I see that, man, what I went through to give you that, to get that to you, forget it. It was nothing. Honestly, it was nothing. Announcing God's grace to people will sometimes include ridicule. It will include sometimes persecution from others, and perhaps even pain or temporal loss for the effort. But dear friends, once you've tasted the joy of announcing the marvelous mystery revealed, Once you've seen the joy and tasted the sweetness of someone else discovering God's grace in Christ, you will say with Paul, "Forget the price I paid. It's nothing compared to watching you light up with the life of Christ." This morning, if you need to receive God's grace, if you're sitting in your life, wherever that's at, and you go, "Man, could I use some grace from God for this, for that, for this issue, for my whole life, for my marriage, for my family." If you're sitting in your life right now and you need grace, dear friends, it's available. It's available to you. It is there. Receive it. Drill for it by faith. And God will gush it into your life. If you are here this morning and you've already received God's grace, you celebrate it and have experienced it in the dimensions of your life, then pass it on. You will never be impoverished by giving away what God has given to you. Never. His reservoir is too large for that. The mystery of the ages has been revealed. It's been revealed. You from Ireland, and you from the Philippines, and you from Africa, and you from America, and you from Egypt, and you from New Zealand, and you from Britain, and you from wherever you're from. God's grace is available to you. Amen? It's been revealed. I say it's high time we stop hiding it. Amen? Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for the grace that has been extended to us in Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for being like people in the past who have hoarded that grace, thinking there was not enough to pass around. Help us, Lord Jesus, this morning to first of all experience the full dimensions of your love and grace through Jesus Christ, and then to freely, freely pass it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.